Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our Father's Word, we're going to get back into it here, chapter 27 of the great book of Proverbs. Proverbs being our Father's giving you the good and the bad of a situation and letting you choose which you prefer. Actually, good enough that he tells us what happens to you if you choose the good or if you choose the bad. And again, our Father showing you the way, but always leaving your the choice strictly up to you. Chapter 27, a word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's name. And verse 1 of that chapter reads, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This word boast, halal in the Hebrew tongue, means to make a foolish show. In other words, don't talk up great things you're going to do. You know, just wait until tomorrow and do it, okay? Let's see what you got, okay? Show us what you got. Don't just talk about it. So many times we have to realize that we want, if you're a true Christian, you want God's will. And that's why you want to be real careful about making big statements about what you're going to do, what you're going to accomplish, because you kind of need God's help to bring some of those things to pass, and you kind of, in doing that, you kind of leave him out of the equation. He really doesn't like that. So always think to yourself, and because quite frankly, you don't know what tomorrow might bring forth. Could be a lot of things happen. Verse 2, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. In other words, if a family member kind of praises you, that's one thing. And certainly, if you have to praise yourself, it's probably not true, because you're not worthy of praise if you have to do all the praising yourself. But if a stranger, a total stranger, praises you, then probably you've done something pretty well that a stranger would do it. It is something that we leave that to other people. You never praise yourself. God doesn't like that. Okay. Again, it kind of falls back to the same reason. When good and wonderful things happen to us, usually it's God's blessings. In other words, it's Almighty God that brings it forth to us. And if you start boasting about what you have done and left God out of the equation, you don't give him credit, then certainly he's not happy with that. And probably those blessings are not going to pour forth all that much the next time you need him. Verse 3, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them all. So it is. A fool's wrath is heavy. It is troublesome. It doesn't make any sense. It's a senseless man. And when he gets angry, you never know for sure what he's angry about at the very base of his problem. And a fool is simply a fool. I want to add, never listen to a fool, or you're a bigger fool than they are. Okay. Verse 4, wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And of course, envy, as it is utilized here, is jealousy. Jealousy is where it grows. Jealousy is something that it gets started and it just picks up and it grows and it grows, and the person who has the spirit of jealousy, things begin to grow in their mind. And if somebody's angry, that is cruel, but a jealous person can destroy you. It is that imagination just ricochets around, and what it doesn't get here, it makes up there, imagines there, I should say. Jealousy is a tool of the devil. And boy, will he use it to try to destroy a servant of the living God. Don't ever get caught up in that. Be real careful. It's difficult. We're all exposed to it a little bit in one way or the other. But learn how bad it can be and try to nip it in the bud. Okay, verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. In other words, this means if a friend of yours is doing something wrong, real love is to rebuke them. That's called tough love. And it's when you really love somebody, you don't want to see them get in trouble. So you're going to it's just better to rebuke. That's a deeper love. Whereas a secret love, that is someone laying on the conning you, perhaps telling you what a great person you are. That's Satan's number one MO. He's telling you what a wonderful person you are, but okay, that's where the bad comes in. But rather than great sweet sayings, if somebody's doing something wrong, it's better to correct them if you really love them. That's a deeper, more wonderful love, is caring and taking care and protecting each other from that can harm. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Truth hurts. And sometimes when a friend wounds you a little bit, comes out with the truth, and it hurts, it does hurt. But the kisses of an enemy, there again is Satan's old MO, are deceitful. In other words, he'll con you, lead you down Primrose Lane. Whereas a true friend, a faithful friend, one you can count on, they're gonna correct you, but with truth. And again, truth hurts. Kind of connects to the last verse, verse 7. The full soul loatheth and honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. In other words, if you've overindulged in a honeycomb, it almost makes you sick to taste it again. You've had so much of it, it's sickening almost, okay? But a hungry soul, even bitter things are sweet. I want to give a spiritual connotation to this, because it's like the Word of God to one that is hungry for truth. Even though it's bitter, it's still sweet when you partake of the book. And you can't get too much of it. But still, the analogy rolls along that if you're not hungry for it, you can overload somebody's donkey pretty good. You can run them away from you by too much honey, too much teaching, more than they can handle. So a good teacher must always be able to gauge when someone has stopped hearing. When someone stops hearing, it doesn't do any good to keep planning. They're not going to get it. But to a person that's really hungry for truth, then it's always good. Verse 8, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. This is just common sense. This is to say a bird that is lost from her nest. All kinds of bad things can happen to her while she's away from that nest. It can happen to her nest, or it can happen to her. And so it is with a man. When a man wanders into a strange place, he does not know the ways of the people there necessarily. He does not know where all the dangers are necessarily. And it's not a real good situation. Okay, so it's best not to wonder until you know what you're getting into. Verse 9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. In other words, it does. When you walk into a room that has sweet odors, it does. It rejoices the heart, makes you feel good. But sweetness of a friend's words, the truth, is even better for the heart. Man, I mean, it really can pick you up when you hear a good word, when you hear good encouragement, when you hear from God's word. It's sweet encouragement, kind of. It encourages you. And when you have a person that's a good friend and that person is having kind of a tough time, and you come up and assure, hey, I know you're a can-do type person. You're going to get, you can cut it, friend. A little bit of difficulty here, but you'll get her worked out. You can always make one more hill. Discipline yourself in that. A sweet word of encouragement is a wonderful thing to counsel a person with among can-do type people. Okay, verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, but that means a friend of the family for many years. Forsake not, you hang on to him. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. In other words, as I've always cautioned you, a neighbor is a valuable person because they are there. They've got your back, and you've got their back. And though you may love your brother and he's two or three states away, if there is a calamity and there is trouble, the close friend, the neighbor's right there. He's there, Johnny on the spot, and he's ready and able to help. So that's just human nature. So this is why that you always want to go the extra mile to have a good neighbor. That means treat him the way you want to be treated, and you'll always have a good neighbor. If you're a good neighbor, you'll always have good neighbors. There are exceptions to every rule, but basically that will hold. Verse 11, my son, be wise, or you become wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. In other words, if you're wise, if somebody comes up and reproaches me and says, you know what that boy of yours is liable to do? No, I know my boy, and I know he won't do that. He's wise. He can cut it. He can handle it. And so that's why wisdom is such a wonderful thing, that that a family member picks up on that wisdom. They can handle it. They can cut it. And you don't have to make excuses for them. You know what they would do and what they would not do, period, okay? Verse 12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, you remember how I translated the prudent man for you? To cautiously utilize common sense. So let's use that in this case. A person that cautiously utilizes common sense foreseeth the evil. I mean, he's going to go over it, through it, around it, or whatever it takes. He can handle it, okay? But a simple, that's one that's senseless and doesn't pay any attention, he's going to walk right into the trap, okay? And he's going to suffer for it. Okay? So always cautiously use common sense. That's what you gain from wisdom. Hang on to her and care for her well. That is to say, wisdom. Gain all the wisdom you can. But the first thing to know is that the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom is to love Almighty God, to know where it comes from and where to derive that truth and that help, that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding comes from our Father. And He's more than willing to give it, to grant it. Verse 13, take His garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of Him for a strange woman. This word stranger is zer, not nega. It's zer, meaning an apostate. Someone that claims to be what you are but isn't, okay? Claims to be a Christian, but they don't cut it, okay? And if you have to stand surety for them, that means to guarantee or to sign for them. You be sure, if it's observed, that you get sufficient collateral to make good, because you're probably going to have to pay the bill.
Okay.
That's what the parable means, the proverb means, rather. And you want to, if it's observed, you make sure. That's to say an apostate. You don't just walk up and stand surety or sign the receipt for them without something to back it up. Okay, or you'll be sorry. You'll pay for it.
Okay.
That's just common sense. Verse 14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, raising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. It may cause him to think more of himself than he really is.
Okay.
You don't want to overdo blessing a friend with a loud voice early and tell them, "Boy, you're such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person." Don't overdo it.
Okay.
To make someone think more of themselves than what they are, is you're loading them and pointing them out into life that's going to give them some trouble.
Okay.
It's not wise. It's not wise at all. And it can be considered a curse, because anytime somebody thinks more of themselves than they are, they're going to get hurt. They're going to be disappointed. Somebody's going to cut them down. Somebody's going to put them in their place. That's just nature. It's just life. And so it is. So when you bless a friend, keep it as it is. Be truthful. The truth never hurts. By that I mean the truth utilized, you never have to apologize for. Always use the truth. Sometimes it may sting. Sometimes the truth may hurt, especially coming from a friend. But in the long run, it's healthy, it's wealthy, and it's wise. Okay, you'll get it done. So don't over compliment someone to the point that they think more of themselves than they really are. That's bad. 15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. And I'm going to say, you know, I don't know how many of you have ever lived in a house where there's a continual dropping when it's raining. That means a leaky roof, okay? You put a tin pot under that leak and it's bing, 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 bing. Just, I mean, on and on it goes. Well, that's the way it is with a contentious woman, according to this, but I'm going to say that it's the same way with a contentious man, okay? There's really no gender intended in this other than it happens both ways. And many of you have met an old boy like that I mean, it's just on and on, a ratchet jaw that just goes on and on and on, and it's just like a raindrop hitting an empty bucket, just boom, boom, boom. It kind of would get on your nerves, okay? So always be thoughtful of your friends. They're valuable. Don't be disrespectful or overuse them. Verse 16. Whoso hideth her, hideth the wind. And the ointment of his right hand, which bereath itself. She is as subtle as the wind and slippery as oil. Okay? Let's read that again and you'll understand. Whoso hideth her, hideth the wind. In other words, she's as unsubtle as the wind. You just can't, you never know. And the ointment on your right hand means she's real slippery, okay? So the proper meaning is she is as subtle as the wind and as slippery as oil. I'm going to add that the same way to a man, okay, that is contentious. It's real trouble, and there's not too much delight around it. And it can grow very tiring. And about the time you think you've got a hold on it, then this means anointing oil, okay? So you can put a real spiritual connotation to this, that it wouldn't be much good to anoint her with the oil of our people. She'd slip right away, okay? Or he would. It does not do that much good, okay? Mainly, well, why? Well, like the wind, here and gone, okay? Not paying any attention. Not stable, okay? And so it is. Verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And that's the way it is. Your countenance has a great deal to do with your friend. If you really like him, if you go in there with a real long face, though, you want to hear about my troubles today. I've got troubles, my friend. You've never heard of him. Your old countenance is long. His is going to be long, too. But if you have a good report from the Lord, a blessing, okay, and it is a blessing to understand God's word and have wisdom, it's going to raise the countenance of your friend. Going to be glad to see you. Going to say, come on in and let's party a while. Let's talk for a while. And just as iron can sharpen iron, a good countenance brings forth good countenance. Okay, always remember that. It makes it real nice when you are welcomed into a place and you lift spirits. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. In other words, that's just as it is. If you take good care of whoever you're indebted to, and you're going to be honored. You're going to be elevated. This is why you'll hear me say, if you haven't got a job and you're waiting to be the president of a bank or something of that nature, start digging ditches if you have to. But dig them better than anybody else, and you won't be digging ditches very long. Okay, you'll move up. So that's as it is. You are honored for good, loyal service. Verse 19. As in water face answereth the to face, so the heart of man to man. This just really doesn't carry real well in the translation. This is one of the reasons that the translators of the King James Bible wrote a letter in the front of the original King James to the reader, explaining they had done the best they could. And over years, sometimes the true meaning can be a little shady if you're not real careful. So let's see what we can do with this to take it back to the original. As in water, faith answereth. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's look at it this way. If you were in the country, if you were a country person, and you didn't have necessarily indoor plumbing, and you went down to the brook to wash your face early in the morning, it's real still. And when you look into that water, what do you see? It's a mirror. You see your face. Okay. So that's what it's talking about. Your face is mirrored in that water. So now let's go back and read it again, and let's insert the word mirror. Okay. As in a mirror, your face answereth to face. In other words, you can tell, you know, what your countenance is. So the heart of man to man, in other words, another man can see your heart through another man's heart. Feel your countenance, okay? Can read it. You know, if you have spiritual discernment, you don't have to be around somebody 5 minutes, and you can read them. You can read their very heart, their mind, and know and understand. It's a beautiful thing. But it's saying, just as you look in a mirror and see your own face, you can talk to the mind of someone, let's just say their heart, you're better translated their mind, their thought process, you can understand them, kind of know where they're coming from, whether you want to have them as a friend or not a friend. Okay. To discern is called spiritual discernment. Verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of men are never satisfied. And unfortunately, that's kind of the way it is. A man always, and the law of survival and the law of success and pleasing a man, that's the way it is. And a man is, his eyes are never satisfied. He wants to move ahead. If you're a slothful, lazy person, you might stand in one place. That's not healthy either. 21. As the fining pot for silver, that's to say a refiner, a smelter for silver, and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. In other words, when a man's lips begin to praise himself, you want to be real careful how it works out. It doesn't work too good, okay? As the refiner does the silver and the gold, so is the man to his praise. Those old lips can sure get you in trouble, okay? Praising yourself or praising others. The refinery takes away the slag and gets it right down to the real thing. And I suppose a man to his praise, you want to be real careful, okay? Let God do the leading. And other people will praise rather than you have to praise yourself. 22. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a thistle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now what this is the way you separated the hull from true wheat. A mortar is where a hole in a rock, and the pistol is the stone that you pound it with. Okay? In other words, you can bray means to pound. You can pound a fool in a mitre, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. You can't beat it out of him. Okay? You can separate wheat and grind it into real good flour by pounding it in a mortar. But a fool, it wouldn't do any good to pound him. I'll go back to my old saying, if you listen to a fool, if you talk to a fool, you're a bigger fool than they are. Well, I can correct that fool. Oh? Don't forget this parable. Don't forget this proverb. Okay? It's no amount of grinding will get rid of his folly, his foolishness. It's not going to be helped a whole lot. We're talking here about a senseless person. Okay, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. In other words, what God gives you, you take care of it. Take care of your animals. It's one of the best. That gets you ahead. That brings God's blessings as well. Verse 24. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. In other words, from generation to generation, that flock can change. There can be good times. There can be bad times. Wealth can come. Wealth can go. But always take care of it. Okay. Take good care of it. 25. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The hay appeareth, and you cut the first cutting, and the tender grass showeth itself. In other words, the second cutting is going to push right on up there. Okay. It's going to come right on. And the herbs of the mountains are gathered after the growth. It always does. You know, we have an interesting thing by the so-called green folks saying that today in today's news that beef, the carbon footprint of beef is a lot more than vegetables. That is so ignorant. I don't know where these so-called experts, professors, evidently they grew up behind a desk. They were never on a farm. where you've got beef cattle graze and put on convert the grass. But for vegetables, you got to get on a tractor, you got to till the soil, you got to plow the soil, you got to cultivate it, and then you got to get motors out there to harvest it. And these veggies have got a carbon footprint a mile wide. That old beef, they stayed out there in the calm, cool, converting that grass whereby we could consume the nutrients. And the carbon footprint is very small. Just like all these so-called earth-warming people, you know. The earth is warming, all right. Every spring it gets warmer than it was in the winter. And God has always promised we would have cold and we would have heat. And you have these jokers that come along and are ruining our nation by running up the price of gas, fuel, and everything else by their screeching. And it makes no sense. Don't listen to idiots, okay? Now, I don't know why God would have me throw that in. I guess it was timely. Next verse, please. Verse 26. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. In other words, the lambs are there, but the goats are to pay for the land. Always take care of good business, okay? Make sure that you keep your bills paid and so forth. God blesses that. Okay. 27. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. In other words, if you take care of business, it's going to take care of you. And so it is. And that's just like God gave us this earth. And he said, tend it, work it, use it. Don't let it grow up and turn into nothing. This is why our forests, they screech about cutting timber. We're supposed to work the timber. What do the Greenpeace people do, the tree huggers? They let the underbrush grow up until it takes over and lightning comes along, starts a fire, and it burns it all up. But then let the tree huggers go out and hug it while it's right good and hot. And maybe they would learn that God expects us to tend the good earth in a fashion that it supports us quite handily. I guess it just felt good to get to throw that in. But God said, take care of your property and it'll take care of you. That's what it meant. So when you look in that mirror, then let your countenance shine and stay in God's word. Don't listen to fruitcakes. The world is full of them. Okay. Socialism always tries to work its way into our government. All the men and women that have died keeping this nation free. You got these people that come along and try to bring socialism back in. Won't fly, friend. Won't have it. Okay. Hey, don't miss the next lecture. Proverbs. What a fascinating book. How timely it is for the situation that we have in the world today. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please? The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, as vehicles. Those circular discs, in the Hebrew it states very clearly that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Haman God, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it. The book of Ezekiel. And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular individual, reverend, denomination, or religion. Let's don't judge people. God is judge. He can handle that right real nicely, okay, and does a good job of it. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure hearing from you. Now, prayer request, you don't need that number. Hey, you don't need an address. You know why? God knows what you're thinking. He can read your mind. He's called the heart knower. And you know something? What he wants from you is your love. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love, your grace, which is to say your love. And that's what he wants. That's why he created you. Let him know today that you love him. Won't you do that? And when you bless him, he always brings blessings to you. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, and questions. We're going to get into it here. We've got Kevin from New York. One-third of God's children went with Satan in the first earth age. Would that be 4 billion souls? Well, approximately. We have about half of the people living now that have been since the beginning of time, and there's over 6 billion. So there you go. If so, is that how many will be with him when he returns in this earth age? No. Only the fallen angels are with him when he returns. The children that followed him, God wants to convert, and I feel that third are living now. I think that's why that after the 30s, our morals in the world went downhill. Because that third that followed Satan in the beginning, those souls are with us today for that final generation when the false Messiah will appear, whereby they make their mind up whether they're going to follow God or the fake. That's the Satan. That's up to them. But the only ones that you can read of that in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, that Michael throws out Satan and his angels, okay? And his angels are the Nephilim, the fallen ones. You can read of them in the first 6 verses of the great book of Jude, right before the book of Revelation. Lucy from North Carolina, aren't we all born from above? Absolutely, with one exception, Lucy, and that's naturally, the fallen angels. They weren't born from above. They fell from above. That's what the word Nephilim, Napa, means fallen ones. And that was where they actually, as it is written in the book of Jude, this is why they are already sentenced to die, is because they left their place of habitation. That is to say, they left the heaven realm and came to earth and were seducing women, okay? It is written in Genesis chapter 6. And therefore, they were sentenced to die, period. They've had it, in other words. The book of Jude describes. Julia from, where is Julie from? Arizona. I am 9 years old, and how does he forgive me? How does God forgive me? And what does he do to forgive me? Well, when you ask for his forgiveness, darling, he automatically, why? Because he loves you. He loves you a great deal. And I can tell you why, because in reading your note here, you love him. And that's why he forgives you. It's just like when you do something kind of wrong and your mother corrects you and you ask her to forgive you. She gives you a big hug and she forgives you. Why? Because she loves you. Okay. And because you've repented. So when you repent, he forgives you and gives you a big spiritual hug and thank you for loving him. And we love you for having loved him, okay? He hangs up. He does always forgive. That's the beauty of Christianity, is that God does forgive us. Larry from Illinois. And our Father does continue to bless this ministry. I went to many churches searching and could never find one that taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse. I've learned more with you than all of them. Pastor, when was a mark put upon Cain? Does the scriptures tell us what that mark is? Spiritual discernment. You can tell. The reason that it is not taught, and the reason we don't discern to any high notability, is the simple fact we're supposed to leave them alone. The tares, what did God say? Leave them alone, or you're going to destroy some of the wheat. So Matthew chapter 13. So we're not to mess with them, not to bother them, other than in your own personal life. But spiritual discernment, you can always tell when somebody unspiritual is around you. Ricky from Pennsylvania, we appreciate your enjoying the program. Do you think it is necessary and helpful to confess our sins to another person? Why or why not? Well, because when Christ died on the cross, he took the curtain to the Holy of Holies, and he rent it from top to bottom. In other words, the curtain that keeps one out of the Holy of Holies doesn't exist any longer. Okay. And in his name, we can go right in. Only the chief priest could go in up till that time. And Christ sits on that mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, in the heavenly places, to represent us. So, who do you confess to? Him, and ask his forgiveness. Just like the little girl, Julie, a moment ago, was asking about forgiveness. He's happy to do it. Why do so many find confessions so difficult? Well, I'll tell you why. Because many times when you do something, if you repent to Christ and it's erased, it never happened, and you start confessing to certain people that are not genuine, and they'll start gossiping about you, okay? That's why you want to be careful about who you confess to. You're supposed to confess to Almighty God through the Son, okay? Do you ever confess your sins to someone else? Absolutely, to the Lord Jesus Christ, period, okay? And now probably you want to know what sins it is that I confess. Well, I'm not telling you. Okay, that's a top secret. I keep so busy teaching His Word, I really don't have enough time to sin, maybe like a lot of people do. And it keeps me too busy, so I thank God for that. Confess to Almighty God. He loves you, okay? You don't need some individual. And I know that may offend some people. And hey, if you want to go before your pastor and confess, hey, have to it. It's there's no problem there. And he's supposed to be able to hold a secret, and he's supposed to be able to maybe even give a little advice. But that's up to you. Jenny from Idaho. I am a single mother of four, and I love the Lord. My question to you, sir, is, I have not been baptized. I heard I will not go to heaven because of this. Now, is this true? I love the Lord with all my heart, and He knows this, so please give me a scripture to read from so I can ease my mind. Well, any Christian can baptize another Christian. I want to say that, okay? So if you have a Christian friend and you want to be baptized, have them baptize you. Some churches won't recognize that, but Christ will, okay? But as far as that holding you from heaven, do you remember when Christ was crucified, there were two malefactors on each side of Him? And remember what one of the malefactors said? He finally scolded the other because he said, "This is the Son of God." And Jesus forgave him. And he said, "This day I will see you in paradise," meaning you're going to make it. You're making it to heaven. This day. Now, Jesus did not say, "We've got to come down off this cross and I've got to go baptize you." So He made it to heaven without baptism. But that does not mean that we're not to be baptized. We should be. It's a public declaration that we believe that Jesus died, that he went into the tomb, and that he resurrected. And we're Christians. That's what it signifies. Victor from Pennsylvania. A few days ago, I telephoned the chapel and left a question for you, namely, what existed before the beginning. After thinking about the way I asked the question, I decided to resubmit, saying as follows: who or what existed before the beginning? Well, read the great book of John. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And I see you have a statement there about the Savior. Keep reading in that first chapter of John. The Savior was with him. The Savior was the Holy Spirit that moved upon the waters and brought into existence this earth age. But what you got to remember, the Savior and the Father are one. Emmanuel, God with us. So you got to keep that in mind. Kathy from Wisconsin. When my fiance visits me, he likes to visit my next door neighbor who is always trying to flirt with me. This neighbor likes to talk about women doing lap dances, and he has dirty pictures on his garage walls. I don't want to be around him, but my fiance does. What should I do? Well, communicate. Make sure your fiancé understands this. Tell him the old boy's hitting on you, okay? And that you'd rather he stayed away from him. And your home is your castle. You don't have to put up with malarkey, okay? And communicate. Let him know how you feel about it. And if he continues bringing that trouble upon you, you might better take a little inventory and think about the person you're calling your fiance. Okay, Marcella from California. Can the dead speak to us? First of all, let's define dead. Okay, not even Satan is dead. He's being held by Michael behind the mercy seat. When Christ said, "Get behind me," that's where he's at. And God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. But God does not allow someone that is passed on necessarily without very special reasons to speak to us today. It has to be something like in the case of Daniel, where a person who was a fellow servant spoke to him, and he fell on his knees, and the person said, "Get up, I'm just a fellow servant." Same thing happened to John. So it does happen, but it always has to be for a very special purpose. They're called angels, and what does angel mean? It means messenger. So it's got to be that God's getting the message out. Charlotte from North Carolina. My question is, why are some afraid of the process of dying? I was raised to wear only dresses to church, and a lot of people don't. Does it matter? I talk to Jesus a lot. Is it a sin to talk to a picture of him on the cross? It seems to make me more in touch with him. I know it is a crutch. Well, he's in your heart and your mind. Don't worship the picture. That would be very, very wrong, okay? Now, why do some people hate the process of dying? They don't know where they're going. This is why it's so important to know where the dead are. Jesus taught us so aptly in Luke chapter 16 where they are. They're in paradise. Some of them on one side of the gulf, and those that don't quite make it on the other side, waiting judgment and the millennium. So, if you want to wear a dress to church, that's fantastic, but when Deuteronomy 22:5 was written, men wore dresses, okay? They wore skirts. So, actually, what it means is, when that verse is utilized, it means that a woman will not take the part of a man in a sexual act, and in the same verse, a man should not take the part of a woman in a sexual act. That's what it's talking about, not clothes, okay? Not garments. Hollis from Florida, will there be live-breathing flesh people on earth during the millennium? Just scratch the word flesh and you got it right. There will be live-breathing, breath-of-air persons, spiritual persons on earth during the millennium, but no flesh people. Okay. At the seventh trump, all people in flesh are transfigured into spiritual bodies. Okay. No flesh. No more flesh after that. In other words, on the first day of the millennium, all will be in their real bodies, which is to say spiritual bodies. Jim from Louisiana, where does it say it's a shame for a man to have long hair? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. But you need to understand what it's really talking about. Okay. In the first place, it's not really talking about hair. And the subject begins, back to verse 10, for a woman, that a woman should have be covered, meaning not, a lot of people translate it, they shouldn't cut their hair. That's not what it's talking about, that they should have Christ over their head because of the fallen angels. Why? They're coming back. If a man had to have Christ over his head for that purpose, that would mean it would be a perverted act. Jan from Texas. Love your teachings, your humor, and your visible connection to God. Well, thank you. I have an amazing and awesome husband that I dearly love. I use Proverbs 31 as my model for being a good wife and mother. Well, fantastic. Question, am I honoring God when I honor my husband? Well, to love him and honor him if he's deserving of it, that's good. Always remember, God comes first. What is a helpmeet, and where can I find documentation? Well, of course, that was Eve's position, and it means exactly what it says, is the two become one flesh, and they help each other. To what? To have family, to survive, and to be servants and children of the living God. And that's what a helpmate is, and both husband and wife should be. Willard from Texas. I have known this for quite some time. I see you as a type of whoa. Well, and they are coming. I finally have a question, but I think I know the answer already. When Christ returns and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, and we are all changed, does the flesh all just fall off, or are we all transfigured? We're transfigured. Read the 14th chapter of Zechariah, and you will find where his feet touch and kind of what happens to bodies. Sounds a little graphic, but it's there. Zechariah chapter 14, Old Testament, Minor Prophets. Francis from Oklahoma. Do animals feel pain? My husband says animals do not have a soul, so they can't feel pain. I replied, when I stepped on the cat's tail, he screamed and bit me, so I know he can feel pain. He said the cat was only aware of me being on his tail and wanted me off. Well, I kind of hate to get in a discussion between you and your husband. That always makes me very, very uncomfortable. But, you know, being an old country person, I've branded cattle, and when you take that red hot iron and you stick it to a calf, it would be just like you stuck it to a human being. They squall, okay? And it hurts. You can, if you have any sense of the feelings of animals, they have pain. You can even hurt them with your voice. When they love you and you scold them, you can see their countenance that it hurts them. So I have to say that you're correct, and that animals do have feelings, and they do feel pain, all right? That's why they're so much fun to have a good pet and to love animals. And that's why I said don't ever hire a cowboy that's got bloody spurs. You don't need him, all right? Because animals do feel pain. Don from Oregon, where in the Bible does it speak about cutting your hair, and is it okay to do so? That's strange. I'm getting another question about that. I've already answered that, so it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But it's talking about the fallen angels in verse 10 returning, and that the woman should have Christ over their head. Jesus made this clear in Matthew chapter 24. He said it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage again. Well, who were they taking in marriage in Noah's day? The fallen angels, okay? And that's as it is written, and so it is. And I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for it. It's the letter He has written to you, instructing you how to be pleasing to Him and how to be wise and successful. So it makes God's day when you read His letter. And when you make His day, guess what? He's sure going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that again? Blessing God, He will always bless you. But there's one thing that's most important, the most important thing, and that's this. Inasmuch as all wisdom comes from our Father, and the beginning of it, as it says in Proverbs 1:7, is to love Him, revere Him, then let Him know you love Him.